Hey, and welcome to my podcast. My name is Virginia Jones, creator and host of A Vintage Lady. On this podcast, you'll find a variety of subjects. I'm a vintage soul who loves to discuss people and events in history, as well as old-fashioned values, and I'm not afraid to confront the tough issues of our day. I will have guests from time to time who bring engaging and interesting topics. So if this is your cup of tea, tune in every Friday. You can find me anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. And if possible, please share and leave a review on iTunes. And welcome to A Vintage Lady. I have with me a special guest, Darcy Steiner. Welcome to A Vintage Lady.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, so Darcy Steiner has served in the ministry as a teen and women's ministry leader, as well as assisted with church plants in Denver and Los Angeles. In 2001, Darcy nearly lost her life after a debilitating fall. During her recovery, she earned her Master of Science degree in holistic nutrition and implemented natural remedies into her diet that helped save her life. When Darcy became disabled a second time after a foot injury in 2018, she turned her focus toward ministry again by writing her debut book, Beauty Beyond the Thorns, Discovering Gifts in Suffering, and its companion, Study Guide for Beauty Beyond the Thorns, Discovering Gifts in Suffering. Darcy and her husband have two adult daughters and one baby granddaughter. They live in the Denver area. So again, thank you so much for coming on A Vintage Lady. And I'd like to start with telling the audience about your journey with disability from the first time, and then again the second time that you had that you met with disability.
Okay, that's a long story. cut me off whenever you want to.
You're fine.
Okay, so 20 years ago, as a young mother, I ran up the stairs to get a CD for the kids and I to listen to before Christmas. And as all young mothers do, they run. So I ran up the stairs and got the CD and ran back down the stairs. However, at the top of the stairs was a drawing from one of my kids that was left on the stairs. Oh. And I slipped on it. Oh, I had my socks and I slipped on the piece of paper. So I started tumbling down the stairs, and the baby gate was up at the bottom. Oh, and
goodness, wow.
You know, your mind thinks very quickly. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, well, you can't like just fall through that. You have to jump over it. Mm. So as I was falling, I then jumped over the baby gate. However, wall there. Mm-hmm. So I slammed into the wall, flipped, face planted into the ground. Would have been better if I would have just crashed through the baby gate, you know.
Yeah.
But I injured my lower back, mostly is what happened. And I was bedridden from it, but not immediately. You know, I eventually got up, and my kids watched this happen, actually. They were 2.5 and 5. Wow. So it was, My youngest came, or my oldest came over, and she said, "Mommy, are you okay?" And so, you know, I wasn't, but you pretend like you are. Mm-hmm. And you pretend to yourself that you are.
Right. Yeah.
So I pretended to myself for a while, and had such a hard time getting in the car with a lower back injury. And eventually I just spent more and more time in bed to the point where I just couldn't get out anymore. Yeah. So that was the beginning of my first stint of disability. And I was disabled for 5 years.
And so the second time, what happened with that?
So the second one was 3.5 years ago at my daughter's wedding. Mm-hmm. At the end of the wedding, I was on the cleanup crew. So the cleanup crew was almost done. We were almost done. I had one more run into the facility to get my dress. So I was running again. And apparently that running, you know, made this chair slide down the wall, which hit my ankle. There's a story in between that of why that particular spot was not a good place for the chair to hit me. But, you know, most people thought, oh, sprained ankle, let's get some ice, Advil. Nobody had Advil, but we got some ice and had to stop on the way home from the wedding to get some more ice at 7-Eleven and some Advil for pain. And I cried all the way home from my daughter's wedding. It was so sad. Yeah.
Well,
we've been rejoicing. But we thought it would be, you know, maybe a sprained ankle for a while, but it turned out to be, I still am struggling. And this was 3.5 years ago. So I haven't hardly walked in 3.5 years.
Now, you mentioned that there's a story in between that or about why that was a bad place for your ankle to be hit. So could you expound on that?
So during my first disability, I developed what's called complex regional pain syndrome, CRPS for short, which is a good acronym for it. It was not fun. CRPS is a severe nerve pain disorder, and it happens as a result of an injury. So it doesn't happen to a lot of people, but for some people, because of an injury, you get this CRPS. So I had already had fibromyalgia before I fell down and then developed the CRPS. And it's so severe that even a sheet touching your body. Wow. So imagine this with two little kids and a husband, you know, so whenever anybody tried to touch me, including trying to get me to the doctor, I had to sit on a chair because I couldn't have people lift me by touching my body. Mm-hmm. It would just be too excruciating. So I would sit on a chair because we didn't have a stair glide yet. And I had neighbors help carry me down the stairs on a chair to get me into the car. So it was terrible. I can't even tell you what the pain's like. And the pain settled mostly in my ankles. That is why when it hit my ankle, right away I was like, oh no. Mm-hmm. Oh no. My life may have just changed for a long time to come. I might be in the fight for my life again. It did make me fight for my life the first time. Mm-hmm. Because it's so, you know, anybody who has it or knows about it or treats it understands. A nickname for it is a suicide disease. You know, eventually, after the first 2 years were terrible, but then, you know, things started slightly improving because I incorporated some nutritional things that I was beginning to learn. And so my husband made a protein shake for me every day. Mm-hmm. And I was very thin. I had lost muscle mass, you know, including in my face. I couldn't even smile. When I started to try to smile, my cheeks would quiver, you know. So I even lost muscle mass in my cheeks. You know, that was the first time. And then the second time I developed the CRPS as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a beautiful smile, by the way.
Well, thank you.
So how did you adjust from, you know, being totally independent in your life? And then all of a sudden, you know, now you're dependent upon your husband, you know, full time, you know, how was that adjustment?
depressing.
I can imagine. Yeah.
Depressing because I was very independent. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a very independent person, but forced to depend on someone else. Mm-hmm. And it just took us off guard. And not only did he have to care for me, but for the girls full time. And, you know, thankfully he had a job where he was working from home. Mm-hmm. And so the kids would sit by his feet, you know, and play in the basement mm-hmm. sometimes, or they'd come and sit on the bed, or we had made stations around the room so they could still be with me, mm-hmm. just not, you know, jumping on me.
Right.
So we had a coloring station and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But losing independence, going from fully functioning, you know, I had a volleyball team, I had a daycare of, you know, kids and taking care wow. of my own, and starting to study for my master's degree in nutrition, mm-hmm. to I can't even reach for the water bottle at the side of my bed, you know. It messed with me, you know, I mean, it messed with my mind because you feel helpless, you feel worthless, like you don't have a purpose anymore when this mm-hmm. goes on day after day, month after month, year after year, you know, you're like, right, you lose right. hope. Mm-hmm. Like, is this going to get better?
Right. And so while you were bedridden, and you know, I can imagine the dark cloud. My husband actually has an illness too, that his is more intestinal. So we have been dealing with it for over 20 years. He's had intestinal issues, and we had it diagnosed as SIBO. And it's a very difficult thing to live with. You know, he goes into depression. I can only relate it as he almost goes into like this zombie kind of state. He's just distant from everybody. So I totally understand. But my husband in that instance too, you know, in his illness, in those dark times when he's been distant and everything, he really has felt like the Lord has spoken to him in a lot of deeper things. Were there times while you were bedridden that, you know, God was trying to speak to you through that dark cloud?
Such a great question. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. In fact, sometimes more than during the light times, you mm-hmm. know, just like Hagar in the desert, you know, mm-hmm. God appeared to her, well, an angel of the Lord appeared to her, and it was a dark time for her. And like so many other people in the Bible, God appears when there's darkness. And I have felt that more this second time than the first time. I did feel it the first time, but this second time, I don't know, maybe because I'm older, or I don't know. But I have felt like there are places where no one can be there except mm-hmm. God. It's just me and the Lord. Mm-hmm. And it's quiet. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's calming. And it's just, it's an experience that only God and I share. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, is beautiful. It feels like it's in a dark, 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 mm-hmm. deep place where at first I was like, God, you're here. You're here in the darkness, you know, because isn't mm-hmm. Satan darkness, you know?
Right, right.
But God is there too. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't audibly spoken to me, but I have felt him and experienced him in the darkness.
Not that a disability, you know, is a good thing, but, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to be slowed down, you know, in order to hear God a lot of times. And, you know, we get so yes. busy in our life that, you know, sometimes God throws those wrenches in our life and says, hey, you know, I'd like to talk to you. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes it is through disability. You know, we don't really like to go there. I mean, like Job, for instance, you know, I'm sure that, you know, he definitely did not enjoy what he was going through. But in his trial, you know, God was able to do some extraordinary things. And, you know, even in my husband's life, you know, there's still been some extraordinary things done, even though, you know, it's been a really hard time with it. But I feel like not only he, but myself, you know, we've grown in our faith. So I guess I'm going to skip down to that question, talking about that. But when you had your near-death experience, you know, how did it solidify your relationship with God? And I guess I actually have a couple of questions I want to try to roll into one, but well, let me think how to do that. Well, let's talk about that. Okay. So when you had your near-death experience, you know, in what ways were you drawn closer to the Lord, and how did that solidify even deeper your relationship with God?
Yeah, so I did almost pass during my first disability because I was so thin and I kept losing weight. Mm-hmm. So doctors didn't think I would make it if I kept going that route. And so we prepared, and my husband walked out into the darkness one night and tried to grapple with the fact that he was going to be a single dad, mm-hmm. you know? And that was hard for me, watching him. And I was angry at God, because I was like, why would you give me two kids mm-hmm. and then not allow me to raise them? And I just could not get over it. I could not figure out why. You know, I kept asking the why. I had my why. And so I fought with everything in me. And I went to so many doctors, Virginia. I probably went to 25, 30 doctors.
Oh, wow.
Not figure out what was going on with mm-hmm. me. And the CRPS diagnosis was even a little bit shaky, mm-hmm. you know, because I didn't fit some of the qualifications for that, but others I did. So, mm-hmm. You know, I had mixed emotions. I was ready to go in a way, because I didn't want to feel this pain anymore. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how I could feel the pain anymore. I didn't know right. how I could get to the next day. So there was that, like, okay, just take me. Please just take me, so I don't have this pain anymore. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, it's like, I'm so in love with my family, I'm not ready to leave. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking right. God to take me, but yet I'm fighting to get better.
Right.
So that's where the protein shakes came in, because that's what enabled me to gain a couple of pounds. Mm-hmm. In doing so, gave me hope that I could live mm-hmm. as I stopped this trend of my weight loss. So, yeah, but it's kind of, I had mixed feelings, mm-hmm. but finally ended up getting some hope.
And I can definitely understand that as well. I mean, my husband's been there too, you know, so I'm really relating to your story through my own husband's experience. And, you know, he's struggled with that, you know, that, I mean, he's definitely ready if, you know, because in his illness, he had a test actually, and I can't remember the name of the cell count or something, but, it could be a sign of cancer. So we're not sure. We don't have the test results back yet. And that's a scary thing, you know, and I'm thinking now my daughters are 30 and 24. So they're older, you know, I don't have small children.
You look so young.
I turned 50 this year. So
wow, you're doing good. You look real good.
Yeah, I'm actually enjoying my 50s. But, you know, still thinking, what am I going to do? You know, being, if I become a widow, you know, I'm a stay at home mom. I've worked a little bit, you know, I've never really held a job, but I can't replace my husband's income. And, you know, just the fact of being alone and stuff. And, you know, so he's warred with that in himself, you know, I really don't want to have to go through this with the rest of my life. And, but yet, you know, I know that I don't want to leave either. So it's that, you know, you do have that battle in your spirit. And, you know, when you were talking about anger, I mean, that's really sometimes just a natural reaction. It's like, why God, why me, you know, going mm-hmm. through this stuff, you know? So during that time, was there anything like specific, like, was there, you know, a passage of scripture or anything like that, that God had given you, if you're willing to share that with the audience?
Yes. And it is this: do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help mm-hmm. you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a beautiful scripture. That's beautiful. Yeah, I like the one, Jeremiah 29:11. That's my favorite. I really
God
like
has
that one.
Plans for you. Yeah.
Yes. And that's what, you know, we've really leaned upon, you know, with everything that we've gone through, is definitely leaning upon that. So in your disability, how has it affected your relationship with your husband, and your relationship with your daughters? And how have you grown in your faith as a couple through your disability?
Good questions. Thank you for asking. Sorry about this in my throat. During the first disability, my husband and I had, you know, arguments and that kind of thing. It was just very stressful.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Being young, you know, mm-hmm. so we weren't as solidified as we are now. This second disability has actually brought us closer than during the period of time in between when I wasn't disabled. We have drawn closer because I think we've both sought the Lord more. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to. And I think whenever anybody's suffering, you know, it's kind of more a natural tendency to go to God, to mm-hmm. look for strength outside of yourself. And when we're both doing that and then come together in conversation or just relating, we're more spiritual people and we understand this is formation. Mm-hmm. When we're in the fire, God is forming us, mm-hmm. forming us for a purpose. And we believe that he has a purpose on the other side of this. There's a reason why I've been disabled a second time. I don't believe God caused it, but I believe that God is using it for his glory. And, you know, he's going to make something beautiful come from this for both my husband and I. And I don't mean in a personal way. I mean in a way of advancing the kingdom, mm-hmm. you know, because there's so many people in the Bible. I mean, everybody in the Bible has suffered.
Right.
And
right.
Story of God bringing them to a new place. Mm-hmm. And there's this chapter in my book. I recently wrote a book and it's called The Gift of Direction. Mm-hmm. And we were in a car accident when our daughter, our oldest daughter, was 9 months old. Oh. And yeah, it was, you know, it was some, we were on a dirt road and some teenagers, this guy had just had gotten his license a week before he hit
oh,
us.
Boy.
And so of course it hit my side of the car. Well, I'm the one sent to the hospital and we were on a dirt road. But guess who else's life changed on a dirt road? Paul.
Right.
Paul's life was changed mm-hmm. on a dirt road. the direction of his life changed in his future, and the direction of my life at that point sent me on a direction mm-hmm. of nutrition, of getting my master's in nutrition. We have been sent in different directions than we ever thought mm-hmm. that we'd be. I never expected ever to be a nutritionist, you know, ever, you know, and yet I became a nutritionist as a result of that car accident that day, because I was sick and tired of being sick mm-hmm. and doctors not being able to help me. And so I thought, you know, Darcy, you need to really step up your game here to help yourself. And so when I was well, you know, coming out of my first disability is when I began studying, and then, you know, it took six years for me to earn my master's, became a nutritionist, then opened a private practice. And that was a direction that I felt like was not my own. It was God's, because he sent me on this direction. So I felt like, okay, I need to go. And so this time I also feel like God has something else. And this time I wrote a book, you know, so it's, you know, different things come. And I had already always dreamed of writing a book one day. I'm one of those people. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom always dreamed of it and never did it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, okay, it's a dream of mine and I'll probably never do it because I don't have the time. But God created space, mm-hmm. you know? And so different dreams, a dream came true because of a disability. Like he mm-hmm. gave that to me through disability. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, something I was just going to say. So something beautiful has come out of your disability then.
So many beautiful mm-hmm. things. Yes.
So let's talk more about your book. And you were saying, so you wrote your book out of the disability that you had from the car accident. Is that correct?
I got the money because we had a settlement.
Okay.
So that paid for nutrition school, because otherwise we would have never been able to afford it. Mm-hmm. But that gave us the finances to afford for me to be able to get my master's. So that was the beginning of it.
Okay.
So I had already ordered the books before my fall, mm-hmm. and I had started the program about 3 weeks prior to the fall down the stairs.
Okay.
And then I had to stop studying, you know, for a couple of years. And then I found that protein shake, and that started me on the path of getting better. Okay. So from that point, you know, through the next several years while I was still recovering, I was studying and okay. earned my degree. Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I had thought, you know, at one time about, you know, going to school to, because I love working in the library and stuff like that and teaching, you know, kids how to read and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, the cost of school today is so unbelievably expensive. I just said, no, you know, I'm not going to do that. So instead I'm building a homestead. We're building a farm.
That's cool. That's another dream of mine.
Yeah. So Lord willing, you know, we're going to have a farm. We've already started, but we want to, you know, build it bigger next spring. And, you know, being able to grow your own food and, you know, work in nutrition, you know, you want to know what's going into your body. So actually maybe expound a little bit more about your views on nutrition and how you're helping people with that.
Thank you. So even though I'm disabled, I still practice nutrition. You could mm-hmm. call me the disabled nutritionist. but it hasn't stopped people from coming to me. And I don't practice full time. I'm unable to practice mm-hmm. full time, but I do still part time. So I developed a menu plan for three homes with people who have brain injuries.
Okay. Huh.
And so they asked me to come in and talk to these people. And it went so phenomenal. I was so touched by their stories and their fight, you know, to get better. And all of them were so motivated to get on the plan. And they had the option, you know, do you want to do this or not? And we developed even a weight loss plan because several of them were, well, most of them were overweight or obese.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That was part of the plan was, you know, do you want to get on board with this? And so we had a weight loss challenge, which went very well. And then I developed a new menu plan because there was way too much cheese in their current menu. There was way too much butter. There was, it was just, wow. I don't know who developed this plan for them before, but we redid some things and got them on track to drink more water by putting those containers of water with, you know, fruit in it. Of flavored waters, and they love that, you know. So, you know, working with those just motivated me, you know, because it felt like, okay, even though you're disabled, Darcy, they're disabled too in a different way.
Right.
And I could relate with them. And I think when they saw that I was disabled, I think it helped them to know I really care about you and I understand disability and I can speak into this. And yes, you can improve your situation. Even though you're disabled in this way, you can improve. And so, you know, I was able to work with them. I'm working with a gentleman right now who has way too much stress and he didn't even know it. And he didn't know that stress could cause weight gain. And he's trying to lose weight around his middle. And I knew that he was stressed because he has such a hard time scheduling an appointment. And so he's like, stress can cause weight gain. And so we'll talk about cortisol and you know, that hormone and how that affects the middle belly area. So I'm working with him currently and I've just over the years had really amazing people that have, I've just enjoyed it so much.
I like your point and your perspective that you can improve in your situation. And I think that's a huge thing. My mom, who has since gone on to be with the Lord, she dealt with dementia and she had asthma. And she ended up getting COPD. And I've tried to relate this to my daughters because she had a very negative outlook. And I do believe that that affects your health. Your outlook can either improve your health or you can go the other direction. And like my oldest daughter, she deals with severe migraines and I keep telling her, don't let it debilitate you. Yes, they're severe, but, and I know it's easier said than done because I have migraines too, but I don't let them, you know, conquer me. I don't let them just control my life. You know, I deal with it and get through it and, you know, but with her, you know, she's really, I mean, she's way worse than I am with migraines. And, when you talk to yourself in a negative way, like right now she's afraid she could have a brain tumor. That's how bad they are. And my husband, you know, in the same way, it's like, well, it could be cancer. You know, when you start dwelling on stuff like that, it affects you in so many ways. So maybe talk a little bit about how your mental outlook can affect you. How did your mental outlook affect your disability? And what advice would you give to people who are dealing with chronic pain as far as, you know, the outlook they have, and realizing that, you know, this is something that you can get through.
Yeah, I think we do tend to catastrophize when we have an issue. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, we're crossing a bridge that we might not have to have crossed. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't cross a bridge unless we come to it. So we need to you know, put a bubble around us and keep ourselves in this positive place, mm-hmm. even if things around us are bad. Thoughts, you know, ruminating thoughts where you're just thinking of something negative over and over and over again, mm-hmm. is something that's very common. We have a lot of anxiety right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Communities. And anxiety is one of the main problems in the world today that mm-hmm. it is avoidable. Because if we were to think positively and not ruminate and not catastrophize, then we could stay in a place more of a, you know, homeostasis place. Mm-hmm. You know, I just need to deal with today. If we could just stay focused on one day at a time,
right?
Even a moment at a time, and try to be more in the moment. Okay, what can I do right now? I can, for me, I just started being able to put my coat on by myself, mm-hmm. and take those positives and enjoy what you can. I can't walk, but I can sit on my deck and I can watch the hawks and I can watch the clouds and I can enjoy something. What is that something that you can enjoy? Mm-hmm. Get your mind off of these thoughts that are ruminating, you know, and break the cycle. We have to break the cycle of those thoughts. And I think scripture memorization can do that. Even quotes, mm-hmm. memorizing right. quotes and filling our minds with the good things and not losing hope. There's mm-hmm. always hope. If we lose hope, we're not in a good place.
Right. Right.
But, you know, if we believe in God, there's always hope.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And for me, I was healed once of a disability. I couldn't walk for 5 years, but wow. God gave me the ability to walk again. He gave it back to me. And that's a miracle. Mm-hmm. And so why not again?
Right.
Why not again? I saw this in hindsight. So we have to look back and we have to see mm-hmm. where did God work in a mm-hmm. situation in my life and hold on to that and remember it and know that. So I heard this sermon from Timothy Keller. I loved it. It was about Job. And he said, God gave Satan only enough rope as to hang himself. Mm-hmm. So yes, Satan is at work, but God has control. So even though bad happens in our lives, God has more power. And God will always be God. He'll be almighty forever and ever in this earth and in the one to come.
So. Right. Right. Amen. That's an awesome point. And I like the fact that you were saying, you know, I can put my coat on, you know, that's a victory. And so taking that victory one at a time, and like when I have a migraine, you know, if I'm able to get up out of bed, it's like, thank you, Lord, I can get up, you know, I'm breathing, I'm, you know, so focusing on those positive things. And the other aspect I really like is, you know, just deal with today. You know, tomorrow has enough problems. That's exactly. what the Bible says, you know.
Exactly.
So just deal with today. So yes. I like that. So are you planning on writing any more books?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. I have a couple in mind, one for insomniacs.
Oh, wow. Okay.
or anybody who can't sleep, because, you know, with like with your migraines or your daughter's migraines, do you have trouble sleeping sometimes?
Oh, absolutely. I on average, I probably get about 3 hours of sleep a night. Yeah.
There's so many people that can't sleep. And me with my pain. Pain keeps me awake at night. There's a lot of people that can't sleep at night. And I'll give you one hint of what it is about.
Okay.
So Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, they had just been flogged and beaten and gotten out of, well, they were just thrown into prison. And at midnight, they started singing, right? Do people normally sing after they're tortured?
Not normally.
No. I mean, you know, I wouldn't think that that would be a normal thing to do, but they were praising the Lord. And it was midnight. And so that's what my book's going to be about.
Awesome. Wow.
And then I have another one after that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Do you want to share about the other one?
The other one is going to be about the Lord's Prayer. And about the Sermon on the Mount and how the Lord's Prayer fits all throughout the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay.
And I have both of them somewhat written, but.
Oh, okay. So you have some in the works then.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Oh, wow. Awesome. So where can people find your book? Is it on Amazon or?
Yes, my current book is called Beauty Beyond the Thorns. Discovering Gifts and Suffering, which you shared at the beginning. And it has 30 chapters, and each chapter is about a gift that God gives us in suffering.
Okay,
the gifts that I've discovered. So like the gift of direction I shared about, you know, when we were on that dirt road, the gift of hope, the gift of transformation, the gift of courage, the gift of perseverance, all these things that we need to get through hard times, and not just physical disabilities, but, you know, to get through stress, to get through anxiety, to get through job loss, any kind of hardship. So it's on Amazon. It's on other places too for sale. Okay. It's not, I have my first book signing actually on Saturday, so it'll start to be in brick and mortar, but it's not quite in brick and mortar fully yet. So
congratulations. Awesome. And it does sound like a really good book, and anxiety for sure, especially in the day we're living in right now, huge anxiety. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, with the job loss, you know, it's crazy how, you know, that can lead people into areas they probably would have never gone had it not been for, you know, something hugely detrimental in their life. And, you know, thanks be to God, you know, you're a follower of Christ. And so that really helped you in your disability, you know, but how many times do people, you know, face something and then they end up going into alcoholism or drug abuse or, you know, God forbid, suicide, which we've seen a lot of that during this COVID time. And even children as young as 10 or 12 years old are, you know, committing suicide and stuff like that. So that's actually another question I want to ask you. Do you work with just adults or do you work with young people who are dealing with chronic pain?
Both.
Okay.
And, yeah. So I used to do an after school class for kids to teach them about nutrition because it starts young, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You start very young. And then teenagers. So I used to teach sports nutrition at the local high school and would work with the various sports teams to help them gain the edge in their sport. And I helped a couple of teens, women, teen girls who were struggling with anorexia because that's so prevalent too, especially for cheerleaders and,
oh, right, you know, right,
for runners, that kind of thing. So a couple of them I worked with.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I work with kids and teenagers and adults, mm-hmm. you know, all stages of life.
And the good point about the anorexia, you know, so many times we see these images on whether it be TV or books or magazines, you know, we want to look like, you know, a certain person or, you know, and that is something that I think needs to be taught more. You know, beauty is more than skin deep. It's not about necessarily what you look like. And, you know, so many times we do see that in the young people, the peer pressure, and even sometimes adults. I mean, I went through that. My youngest daughter went through that a little bit, you know, with peer pressure because of, you know, her body shape and, you know, things like that. And so tying that in with nutrition, and you're right in stating that it does start when you're young. We need to teach our kids what proper nutrition is like and how that can benefit you in so many ways. So how can people reach out to you or leave comments? You know, how can people get in contact with you?
Sure. So my website is Darcy, D-A-R-C-I, middle initial J, Steiner, steiner.com.
Okay.
darcyjsteiner.com. You can find my book there. There's a link to buy it on Amazon. And I have a study guide to help personalize. I have one right here, actually.
Okay.
Here's the study guide. Here's the book. But the study guide helps personalize, you know, whatever it is that you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So you read about in my book, you know, something, and then you personalize it for yourself through in the study guide.
So I'm
on social media, Darcy J. Steiner, pretty much everything. Instagram, Darcy J. or Darcy J. Steiner dot writer.
Okay.
So yeah, social media. Awesome. And I am open for nutrition clients. So yeah.
Okay.
My phone number's on my website, etc.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on A Vintage Lady. And it has been very informative. I have really enjoyed listening to your story, and you are truly an inspiration to other people. So
yeah. Thank you for having me today. This was a fun conversation. All the best to you and your family.
Yes, you as well. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to A Vintage Lady. If you enjoy listening to these episodes, I would appreciate you sharing and leaving a review on iTunes. If you would like to support this podcast with any amount, you can do so by going to redcircle.com/shows/A Vintage Lady. And remember that gratitude makes what we have more than enough.